Good morning. I'd like to welcome each one of you here. It is good to be here. I am blessed and I am thankful that we can join together this special day, the Lord's Day. And today, or this weekend being Thanksgiving, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? I've titled my message this morning, An Attitude of Gratitude. And so we'll be looking through several different passages as we journey through Scripture to see what the Bible has to tell us and what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving. Before we do that, I'll get you actually to turn with me to Psalms chapter 100. We'll open the morning with that. Psalms chapter 100, I'll read the whole thing, five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each one here. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be full of praise, that our hearts would be full of thanksgiving, especially today and especially this weekend, but Lord, throughout life, each day. Lord, that we would be full of thanks because we know that you are good. Lord, we know you are good during the good times, but Lord, also in the tough times. Lord, and as we have already read, Lord, may we serve you with gladness. Lord, I ask that you would grant us wisdom and understanding of your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, that you'd give us eyes to see. Lord, soften our hearts, that we would be teachable, that we'd be moldable, Lord, that we'd be able to become better servants for you. Lord, I pray this and I ask this in your name. Amen. So we're going to do a bit of flipping this morning as we journey through Scripture, but we're going to start off in Luke chapter 17. A very familiar passage to most of us, I'm sure. Luke chapter 17, and it's the story of the lepers. We'll be starting in verse 11 and reading through to 19. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So we see here Jesus coming to a certain village. He doesn't give the name in this portion. And as he did, he was met by 10 lepers. And these lepers stood at a distance. They stood at a distance because it was believed and probably true that their particular disease had infectious capabilities. And so they were basically quarantined and isolated into leper colonies and they were kept to themselves, apart from interaction and apart from healthy people. And so these 10 lepers stood at a distance from Jesus, and they raised their voices. And what did they say? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when we see them, and this is what Jesus answered their question, when they cried out, Jesus, have mercy on us, he says, go and show yourselves to the priests. It might seem like a bit of a strange command, but really it wasn't too strange to them. Because when a leper believed that they had been cleansed from leprosy, when they had been cleansed from their disease, they were to go show themselves to the priest. And there would be a purification ceremony to make sure that in case was the fact. And then they could recirculate among the people. And Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, it says, they were cleansed. Now they started out in the act of faith, heading for the priests. Nothing had happened before they started in that direction. It happened as they were going, it says. 10 of them. And this is the remarkable part of the story. It goes on to say that only one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. Glorifying God with a loud voice, he fell on his face at his feet, and he gave thanks. It's almost inconceivable that one could be cured from this disease. Something that was rendered a person socially unclean and ceremonially unclean. You were put in isolation with others who had the same frightening disease, cut off from family, from loved ones, cut off from the synagogue, cut off from all social events. And then to be totally cleansed. You would think that 10 out of 10 would have come back and given thanks. You know, I was never very good in school, but 1 out of 10 is not a very good percentage. I would say that's a failing grade. But 1 came back. And interestingly enough, he was a Samaritan. And the interesting part about this is that Samaritans and Jews, they had a mutual hate between each other, because Samaritans were a half-breed people. They were a race of people that came from Jews who intermarried with Gentiles, a despicable thing among most Jews in the ancient world. And so this is really remarkable, for here came a Samaritan falling at his feet and thanking him. Another thing to note about this Samaritan that came back and gave thanks is that he gave thanks even before he was declared clean by the priests. He realized what Jesus had done for him, and his thanks came immediately. And it goes on to say, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? And what did he tell that one that came back, that Samaritan? Rise, go your way. Your faith had made thee whole. Literally, in Greek, your faith has saved you. 10 got healed. one got saved. It's a wonderful story for the one, and really it's a tragedy for the other nine. It illustrates how ugly ingratitude is. Being unthankful. How hard to understand that these men were cleansed from such a terrible disease, and yet they so quickly forgot or rejected the one who was the source of their cleansing. In Romans chapter 1, you can turn there just for a verse. As we think about this gratitude, the Apostle Paul indicts society and sinful society, and his accusation is very specific in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Everybody coming into the world knows God. They don't necessarily know him personally, and they don't know him savingly, but they can know him through reason, and they can know him through creation. In verse 21 here it says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Ingratitude. It characterizes fallen men. But it certainly shouldn't characterize God's people. We can kind of understand the nine lepers who didn't know God. They were thankless. We can understand a world of thankless people if they don't understand or know what God has done for them. But can we understand a thankless Christian? Especially when we understand what the Lord has done for us. I don't think God can understand that either. If we do not glorify God as we should, if we do not give him thanks, the end of verse 21 says, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It starts with giving God glory and giving him thanks that he deserves. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. An amazing commandment there, very brief. First Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. God desires this. That little phrase at the end of the verse, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It actually sums up all three verses there, starting in verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore, or some versions say rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's God's will for us as believers. Even today as a church, since our Lord ordained it, we have a ceremony as Christians. We celebrated it last week. We call it communion, or the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, we remember Christ, we remember the sacrifice for our sins, and we offer up thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all that that sacrifice has accomplished for us. So when we come to the Lord's table, we really come to a table of thanks. And here we see it says, in everything, give thanks. It's a lot like verse 16, where it says, rejoice evermore. The requirement is the same, unlimited, never ending. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice evermore. It has the idea of being in connection with everything that occurs in life. No matter what it is, no matter what the situation, no matter what the difficulty level, no matter what the trial, we are to find reason to thank the Lord. Thanklessness is a sin that characterizes those who don't know God. In fact, just to expand on that a little bit, we can turn a couple pages back to 2 Timothy. I'll read the first two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And the list actually carries on there, but take note of verse 2, it says unthankful. What Paul is saying is that in the last days, ingratitude will characterize people. In verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more wicked men become. The more wicked they become, the more thankless they will be. Knowing this, we are not surprised to see unsaved people going through life complaining or bitter or angry, without gratitude. But for believers, we know God is at work. And we know that God is unfolding a divine agenda, a divine plan, and a divine purpose. Each component determined by Him for our benefit, for our good, and for His glory. As Christians, I think we sin often in our ingratitude, don't we? It's not just the lack of joy that is a sin, but it's a lack of gratitude. We ought to be thankful for the big blessings, but also for the small blessings. Every little thing. In everything, give thanks. So how do we do that? How do we give Jesus thanks? We can do that through the prayers that we pray. We do that through the songs we sing, the hymns, the songs we sang this morning already, giving thanks to Jesus. But we need to do it from the heart. When we bow for grace before a meal, and we thank the Lord for our food, do we really think what we're saying? Or has that just become a habit or routine? Or do we take that minute and just from the heart thank the Lord. How often this attitude of gratitude is missing in the discontent of this age. We have so much. So much, but yet it seems not enough to be thankful. It would be much easier if we were deprived of almost everything, and that we would be filled with thanks even for the smallest piece of bread. We have so much. In everything, give thanks. There's another passage in 2 Corinthians. Turn with me there. Paul is here defining his ministry as to its purpose. And he says, starts off in chapter 4, verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes." I mean, Paul didn't do what he did for himself. If he had his own way, he said that he would go to heaven, right? Far better to depart and be with the Lord. He didn't do what he did because he enjoyed persecution and suffering and pain. It was all for their sakes. He endured it all. He took the pain, he took the suffering for their sakes. And it carries on, verse 15, "that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." The ESV words it this way, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Thanksgiving is multiplied. Our hearts ought to be so overflowing with thanks that it redounds or abounds or increases to the glory of God. That's what happens, you see, when saving grace comes and spreads among people. It causes more and more thanksgiving. People come to the Lord, we thank the Lord. People come to baptism, as a church, we are thankful that God is still drawing people to himself. It should be the normal pattern for Christians to be grateful, to be thankful, to be overwhelmed with thanks. A couple chapters back in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us about how great God is, how rich he is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, if we remember, talks about giving. And we pick it up in chapter 9, verse 11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration or the ministry of this service not only supplieth the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." You'll be enriched, it says. When you give of your money, when you give of your time, when you give of all that you have to Jesus, it says that you will be enriched. In other words, we can't outgive God. Remember, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." If we sow sparingly, it says we will reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. We sow, and Jesus brings the crop. We put something in the cup, and he fills it to overflowing. We're investing with God, and he pours it back. He pours in the blessing. God wants to be thanked. And when he indicts the whole of the fallen human race, he says, they're not thankful. They're not thankful. They don't acknowledge me as the source of everything. God is worthy of all our thanks. And that's the reason when we give, he gives back, because he wants to hear our thanks. In verse 12, it says, for the administration or the ministry of this service, of our giving, it not only supplieth to the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. When we give of our money to the church, we do it out of thanksgiving. And as we give our money to the church translates that money into ministry. And those people that it ministers to or helps out, they give thanks. Thanks is multiplied, and God is glorified. Now, thanksgiving is the normal pattern. And we should be thanking the Lord for his mercy in saving us. We should be thankful to him for all the blessings he pours upon us, for the way in which we can give and extend those gifts into the lives of others and cause more thanksgiving. We should be thankful in everything, constantly and unceasingly. The question comes then, that we have to ask ourselves, does this mean I have to be thankful even for the difficulties? Of course we do. Because those are the things that are working together for good. Those are the things that are perfecting. After you suffer a while, 1 Peter 5, verse 10, the Lord make you perfect. James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And it goes on to say, because they have a perfecting work. Again, in everything, give thanks. As we continue on here, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, just be thankful. Even when we're bringing up our petitions to God, when we're praying, and our supplications are going before God, let's do it with gratitude and thankfulness. And the best example we have as Jesus was approaching the cross. This is what he said. I praise you, O Father. Could also be translated, I thank you, O Father. I thank you for the privilege of serving you. He had a thankful heart. It wasn't easy, obviously. He was going to go through agonies that we would never be able to fully comprehend, but he had a thankful heart. You see it repeatedly, pouring out thanks to God. It was mentioned last week at the communion table. He took the cup and he gave thanks. The cup was a symbol of his shed blood, and he gave thanks. He thanked the Father for the privilege of ministry. He thanked the Father for hearing his prayer on behalf of Lazarus when he raised him to life. He could even thank the Father for the death that he would die. In fact, in all of his humiliation, in all of his struggles, he was thankful to the Father. Jesus began and ended his prayers with words of thanks and praise to his Father, and in the Lord's Prayer, he taught his disciples to do the same thing. Learning to be thankful to God in all things takes a lot of practice. It's kind of like exercise. You got to do it continually. Paul practiced and learned this positive mindset, and it becomes apparent in his letter to the Philippians. We see his joyfulness, his gratitude, even when he was imprisoned, persecuted for his faith, chained to a soldier, he was thankful. So how can we exercise thanksgiving? How do we get this attitude of gratitude? Maybe for some of us, we need to make a list on paper, or maybe it's just a list in our head. Let's count our blessings. The song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. When we sit down and count the blessings that God has given to us, that he has done for us, we can't help but be thankful. Now, there are some things that come into our lives that tend to cause us to be hindered in our attitude of gratitude. I'm just going to mention a few. If we're not thankful, it might be because we doubt God's power. If we don't think that God is really in charge, if we're not sure that God is really all wise, if we don't believe that he knows everything about everything, if you're not sure that he loves you as his own, if you're not sure that he really has your best interest in mind, if you're not sure he's trying to perfect you into the image of his son, if we don't understand God, if we don't understand his purposes, we may not be thankful. Or I might add, if we do understand them, but we tend to forget them. Another thing that can hinder our gratitude is our selfishness. No matter what we've got, we don't got enough. We just want more. We know what our will is, and our will is more important than God's. With that kind of attitude, that kind of selfish attitude, very, very difficult to be thankful. Worldliness. Awfully hard to sort ourselves out from this culture. If you're into the pleasures the pursuits, the popularity. We just want all of this stuff that the world says will make us happy and satisfied. We're going to have trouble being thankful. Because we're never going to have it all. And when we have some of it, it won't be enough. Another thing is a critical spirit. If we're bitter, or if we're negative, or if we just have a sour attitude on life, always looking at everything from a negative side, it's a terrible, terrible thing to do. Let's not cultivate this habit. Coldness or lukewarmness, lack of zeal for God, lack of diligence in the scripture, lack of prayer, lack of worship, neglecting the Bible, all those things cause us to be cold or to become cold. And it's that coldness or that lukewarmness that can take away our gratitude. When we spend time in the Word, when we spend time in prayer, we spend time in worship, we spend time in service to the King and to His kingdom, it excites us and it brings out gratitude. We have so much to be thankful for. Few things to list. God's holiness that makes Him perfect. We can be thankful that God never makes a mistake. Whatever we go through in life is not by mistake. We can be thankful for God's goodness, for His mercy, which is always available, which is always overflowing. All the good gifts that flow down from the Father of lights, victory over sin and death, divine guidance, complete provision for all our needs, the hope of heaven, the power of the Word, and on and on we go. Lots of reasons to give thanks, even for the trials, even for the pain, even for the suffering. My prayer is that God will fill our hearts with joy no matter what. And that we will rejoice always and in everything give thanks. And we can do that on the basis of this verse. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, I thank you so much for your mercy and your kindness toward us. Thank you for the way in which you have showed to us your goodness. Lord, I pray that you would just fill each one of us with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, even for the difficulties, and even for those, Lord, we thank you. It's easy in the good times, and it should be easy in the hard times, if we understand the purpose. Lord, we pray that you would break the patterns of those things that can hinder our gratitude. Lord, that we would begin every day with thanksgiving, that we'd be thankful for your mercies that are made new every day. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all that is ours in Christ. We thank you, Lord, most of all for eternal life, the hope of heaven. Lord, thank you for guiding us and directing us. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the trials which humble us and the trials which shape us, even though they may be very, very difficult. Lord, give us thankful hearts. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be thanked. And it is a sin not to do so. Forgive us, Lord, for that sin. And cause us to be a people, Lord, who are in everything thankful. And may we be in that attitude, may it be infectious to those around us. Lord, that our thanks would bring honor and glory to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. If I were to ask some of you what it said, I hope some of you could tell me. We wear it on many of the shirts that we have, don't we? Rooted in Christ. And it has on there Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, and I'm going to read them. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. If we're walking with the Lord, let's be thankful. So much to be thankful for. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Abounding in thanksgiving, and everything thankful, that's who we're called to be. Let's bow for the benediction, taken out of Hebrews chapter 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. You are dismissed.